Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. So this is the title, Fida Tuzpe Khake Shahre Madina.
Mubarak tujhe ho ye arde Madina, Nabi ka shahar hai.
Sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
نبی کا شہر ہے یہ شہر مدینہ مبارک تجھے ہو اے ارض مدینہ نبی کا شہر ہے یہ شہر مدینہ تیرے پاس جب سید دو جہاں ہے تیرے پاس جب سید دو جہاں ہے نہ کیوں رشک افلاک ہو پھر مدینہ تیرے سبز گنبد پہ عالم فدا ہے فلک جیسے چومے زمین مدینہ تیرے سبز گنبد پہ عالم فدا ہے فلک جیسے چومے زمین مدینہ تیرا ذرہ ذرہ نشان نبی ہے
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
فدا تجھ پہ میں خاک شہر مدینہ تیرا ذرہ ذرہ نشان نبی ہے فدا تجھ پہ میں خاک شہر مدینہ احد کے یہ دامن میں خون شہیدہ سبق دے رہا ہے وفائے مدینہ احد کے یہ دامن میں خون شہیدہ سبق دے رہا ہے وفائے مدینہ نشانی ہے اسلام کی عظمتوں کی
صحابہ رضی اللہ
صحابہ کے قدموں سے خاک مدینہ نشانی ہے اسلام کی عظمتوں کی صحابہ کے قدموں سے خاک مدینہ وفاداریوں پر صحابہ کی اختر ہے تاریخ روشن یہ شہر مدینہ وفاداریوں پر صحابہ کی اختر ہے تاریخ روشن یہ شہر مدینہ مبارک تجھے ہو یہ ارض مدینہ نبی کا شہر ہے یہ شہر مدینہ
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى ما بعد friends this great poem which is a bayan to teach us how we should be loyal to Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam we read and we are taught here in this majlis also the dua raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena وبی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم رسول و نبیا وبی القرآن امام و حکما, دیٹ ہاؤ وی شوڈ بی لائل ٹو نبی اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, دیٹ وی آر ہیپی وتھ اللہ سبحانہ وتعالیٰ از آور رب, وتھ نبی اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم از آور ماسٹر اینڈ از آور لیڈر, وتھ دا دین دیٹ اللہ سبحانہ وتعالیٰ سیڈ اليوم اکملت لکم دینکم واتممت علیکم نعمتی ورضیت لکم الاسلام دینا, دیٹ on this day, now we are in the season of Hajj, in this season this ayat was revealed, that this day have I completed for you your religion and chosen Islam for you as your deen, and I'm only happy with that. How we should be loyal to this. We are taught here in this majlis to make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a daily basis for the ni'mets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, amongst which the greatest of ni'mets is the ni'met that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with of iman, which really I am not worthy of, but we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah take us with this iman, keep us with this iman, take us with this iman, resurrect us with iman at the time when He is happy with us. Titled this poem, Fida Tujhpe E Khaak E Shehre Madina, that may I be sacrificed upon you over the soil of the city of Medina, Medina Sharif. And the name of Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, we are taught here in this majlis, we learn, and Allah give us tawfiq to bring it into our lives. That whatever we learn here, we practice and bring it into our lives, is only for our benefit, really. That Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, these are not ordinary places. When we take the names of these places, we take it with love, we take it with honor, we take it with respect and reverence. That it is not any, like we have, it has been mentioned here, and we are taught, that one time in the majlis of Hazrat Shah Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, Rahmatullah, Shaykh al-Hadith, Rahmatullah Ali, the names of a few cities, famous cities in the world were taken, and he said, these are the names of which villages, showing that they are totally insignificant. When we take the names of Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, then we take it with honor. So may we be sacrificed on the soil of the city of Medina Sharif. مبارک تجھے ہو اے ارض مدینہ, نبی کا شہر ہے یہ شہر مدینہ. ویری ویری مبارک ٹو یو, مے بی بلیسڈ ٹو یو او دا سوئل او دا ارتھ آف مدینہ شریف. وائی دیٹ دس از دا سٹی آف نبی اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. اینڈ ہو از نبی اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم؟ بعد از خدا بزرگ تو ہی, قصہ مختصر. وٹ کین وی سے, وٹ حضرت والا رحمۃ اللہ علیہ سیز, دیٹ لغت میں دم نہیں زباں قاصر ہے, لغت میں دم نہیں اختر. That, oh, what can we say? The dictionaries are insufficient. There are not enough words. The tongue is not capable of praising you. All we can say is that after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your rutba, is your martaba, is your position, O Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the dua that we make after adhan, which is for our benefit. That وَبْعَثْهُ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا الَّذِي وَعَدْتَهُ. Oh Allah, bless Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with that promised pedestal that you have promised him, and you never ever go against your promise, against your covenant. So that is Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What can we say regarding him? Oh soil of Medina, you are so blessed, you are so mubarak, that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is resting in you. Tere paas jab sayyide do jahan hai, na kyun rashke aflaq ho phir ye shahre Medina. When Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is resting in you, he is there, then why should that piece of earth not be the envy of the entire universe, not only the entire universe of the heavens itself, why should it not be the envy? When even the arsh and the kursi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is far greater than that. And that the soil touching the Mubarak kafan of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds a position far more greater than the arish and the kursi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then why should you not be the envy of the entire earth and of all the heavens? Tere sabz gumbat pe alam fida hai, falak jaise chume zameen-e Medina. That the green dome which is there in Medina Sharif, the resting place of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how it towers up towards the heavens, as if the heavens are taking a kiss of this green dome. Imagine if we bring the lifestyle of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into us, then what will our position be? How beloved will we become to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And as we learn here again, that to be beloved to somebody, you need qualities. To claim love, anybody can do that. But to be beloved to somebody else, then you need some quality in you. And if you bring the qualities of the Sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِحْكُمُ اللَّهَ. That if you claim that you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then bring the lifestyle of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into you. Bring the Sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into you. You will become beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then like the heavens are really taking a kiss of the green dome, they will take a kiss of your forehead as well. Bring the sunnahs of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to you. Yuhbibkum Allah. There are zarra zarra nishan in Nabi hai. Fida tujbe mein khaak shahre Medina. That every grain of sand, every atom, every molecule in Medina Sharif is only a remembrance of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ask Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu that after the demise of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why is it that he did not love in Medina Sharif? Why is it that he went away to Damascus, to Sham? That he said that every step, every turn, every zarra, every atom, every molecule, every wall, everything will remind me of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then when this is the remembrance of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then why should we be not sacrificed upon you, O the soil of Medina Sharif? Uhud ke ye daman mein khoon shahida, sabak de raha hai fida wafa-e Medina. That at the left of the mountain of Uhud, which Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved so much, he said this mountain is a mountain of Jannah. It loves us and we love this mountain. Then at the left of this mountain, then we learn this, the lessons of loyalty. How Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala and Majma'in gave their lives to be loyal to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we also learn that just a misunderstanding of one of the directives of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then what a great loss it can be. So the sabak de rahae, wafa'i Medina, there at the lap of Uhud Sharif, and in Medina Sharif, the lessons of loyalty, and the lessons of moving away from the directive of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is to be learned there, that at every step and at every turn in life, we should only follow Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Never follow our logic and never follow our understanding. Always follow the way of life of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that this is the best way of life for you. But for those people who will make akhirat their object and who will make qabr their focus. Nishani hai Islam ki azmato ki sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ki qadmo se khaak Medina. Nishani Islam ki azmato ki. It is a sign and a symbol of the greatness of the signs of Islam, the greatness of the deen of Islam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. One time one person was giving a talk in Benoni many years ago, and he said the person had entered into the fold of Islam. After a week he met him and he asked him, how did you find the deen? Then he had no words except to say, what a deen, what a deen, what a deen. If that can come into us, if just this one line can come into us, that what a deen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, then we will understand why we are taught here to make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with this great ni'mat of Islam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us in the ummah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wafadariyo par sahaba ki akhtar, Hazrat rahmatullah alayhi, using his own name, is saying that on the lessons of loyalty, and how to give your life for the teachings of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. About a fortnight ago in the Jummah Bayan, Mufti Ibrahim Pandor Sahib was mentioning that on one occasion there was a person who came into the presence, and a sahabi in the presence of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had a gold ring on. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed his disapproval. And with his Mubarak hands, he took off that ring and he threw it into the corner. After the majlis, the fellow sahaba said to the sahabi, خُذْ خَاتَمَكْ, just take your ring. And derive some benefit from it. That is not permissible for you. Gold is not jewelry, not permissible for men. You can melt the gold, you can sell it, use the money, make some jewelry for the women folk. There's some use for it. He said, La wallahi, I will never ever touch that thing which was disapproved by Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The day I heard this bayan, I went to the Hindu class and I asked the boys, if you have a gold coin, if you have something, and you are told that, no, this is not approved, will you throw it? And by telling them, really, I was trying to take lesson myself. That am I prepared, really, to give up my branded clothing, my this or my that style, that type of hairstyle, whatever the case may be, when I hear that it was disapproved by Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these lessons of loyalty and how to follow in the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we learn from the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. He tariq roshan ye shehr e Madina. Hazrat rahmatullah alayhi says that there are lessons of loyalty. The pages of history are shining with light. There is only lesson in it. There is only goodness in it. Look into the pages of history. Look into the lives of the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. That is why Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the effect that my Sahaba are like guiding stars. Whichever one of them you will follow, you will reach your destination. And what is our destination? The Hawd al-Kawthar. When Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be giving out the Mubarak water of the Hawd al-Kawthar, what is blessed and Mubarak hand, Allah make us from among those who will get it. Allah take us with Iman at the time when He's happy with us.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nasalli ala Rasulihi al-Karim amma ba'd. As continues the revolution of the Ummah. Ummati, my Ummah. This is the call and slogan of love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His deep love for his Ummah caused him to call out in dua, Ummati, Ummati. The revolution of the Ummah in relation to the scribe Ummati does not have for its goal worldly revolution. Thus the term revolution must not be understood in the context of worldly revolution and change. Although a discussion regarding the mundane revolution of the Ummah is not futile, nevertheless that dimension of change falling within the purview of our discussion here is Dini revolution. The change or revolution which is the aim and goal of Islam has no affinity and no relationship with the kind of worldly changes which have overtaken the Ummah. A study of the life conditions of a disobedient Ummati in relation to the detailed laws and rules of Sharia will produce a stunning revelation that there is absolutely no affinity and connection between the Ummati and the Sharia. If you look at our lives, you will see that there is no actual connection between us and Sharia. The following are the main parts of the Deen: Aqaid, our beliefs, Diyanat, Salat, Sawm, Nikah, Talaq, etc., Mu'amalat, transactions, contracts, trades, etc., Mu'asharat, social life, example, food, dress, speech, salam, etc., and akhlaq, moral character. Regarding aqaid, it is indeed fortunate that the revolution of rejection has not yet overtaken the ummah. Beliefs are not outrightly rejected, although some changes have taken place under the cover of deen. The type of changes affected under cover of deen fall within the scope of bid'ah innovation. It is for the sake of bid'ah that the ahle batil, the people of falsehood, have become the opponents of the people of truth because of the latter's endeavors to rectify the error of bid'ah. In short, the nusus, the Quran and hadith have not been refuted but have been subjected to baseless interpretation, ta'wil al-batil. The evil condition of baseless interpretation is a malady which has overcome the ulama, but the modernists have transgressed further by having adopted the revolution of rejection as well. They not only interpret the nusus, the clear eyes of the Quran, but places they outrightly reject them as well. In fact, they at times mock and jeer at the beliefs of Islam. As a result of their mocking and jesting at the deen, the guardians of Islam have labeled them with kufr. The modernist reactionaries in return retaliated with epithets such as bigots against the ulama. But those aware of the nature of kufr will not be deceived. They will know that the ulama have no choice in the matter. They are under steady compulsion to proclaim such kufr. They will therefore be in agreement with the ulama. This then is the state of revolution which has taken the first part of deen, aqaid. Regarding the revolution in the second part, that is salat, sawm, etc., the masses have not made a complete revolution of bid'ah in it. That is, they have not changed the actual acts and laws pertaining to the teachings in the departments of the Sharia, but have subjected it to neglect and omission. They leave it out. The attitude of neglect towards this part of deen is so marked that it conveys the impression that salat, sawm, etc., fasting are not obligatory acts of worship. The same attitude of indifference has been adopted in regard to matters pertaining to nikah, talaq, etc. While accepting these issues to be integral parts of deen, as well as expecting the explanation of these issues given by the ulama, the general public act on the basis of desire. In a conflict between a dini demand and the nafs, they give preference to the nafs. For example, the commission of fornication, living together as husband and wife in spite of having given 3 talaqs, etc. The condition of neglect, indifference, and omission regarding the second constituent part of deen applies to the masses. However, many modernists have no hesitation in even denying the validity of even these teachings and practices of the deen. The change which the remaining 3 parts of deen, that is mu'amalat, mu'ashrat, and akhlaq, have suffered is by far graver than the revolution which has overtaken the first 2 parts of deen. Even the masses, due to ignorance, have excluded the 3 parts from deen. These 3 departments are regarded as mundane affairs, only applicable to the world, and as such to be decided upon and chosen by opinion and fancy. Thus, impure motives and corruption of the heart have placed havoc in these 3 parts of the deen. This attitude of crookedness and corruption in understanding have brought into existence a new practice, a new custom, and a new habit in opposition to almost every rule and demand of the Sharia in these 3 departments. There are many practices, customs, and habits having no part in the Sharia now constitutes the way of life of the Ummah. In having chosen an un-Islamic way of life, the masses do not feel the slightest inhibition because they do not consider themselves to have erred in this respect. On the contrary, they proudly regard their newly adopted un-Islamic way of life as progress. In fact, they regard their personal practices, customs, and ways which they have introduced in opposition to the divine rules and etiquette of conduct to be superior to that of the Sharia. This effect, their attitude is amply demonstrated by the severe opposition they offer towards those who call them towards the true way and life of Muslim, that is the Sunnah Tariqah. This has indeed been a drastic change in the Ummah. In the first 2 departments of Deen, the parts of Deen were not removed from the Deen, nor were other beliefs and devotional acts of worship introduced in opposition to those of the Sharia. In other words, insofar as belief and practice are concerned, no Muslim considers any act or practice to be superior to Salah, Sawm, etc., which may have been innovated. The changes in these 2 departments are in relation to Ta'wil al-Batil, baseless interpretation, neglect, omission, and addition to the existing valid practices of Ibadat. But the gravity and magnitude of the changes in the latter 3 departments are so great that these have actually been taken out of deen. And new rules and norms of conduct now have been adopted, completely against the tariqah and the way of the Shariat. To aggravate the issue, this newly adopted un-Islamic culture has been assigned superiority over the original culture of Islam. So therefore the change which has been found in the other 3 departments are far greater than the change which has taken place in the first 2 departments. The external manifestation of the changes in the latter 3 departments are very abundant and conspicuous. Aqaid, although compulsory, as far as, are not externally conspicuous, it's in the heart. You cannot see the change. The occurrence of Salat and Sawm is in specific times, so the change in this department too, we cannot be seen so openly. But the last 3 departments of Deen are applicable at all times and in abundance, since they govern every facet of man's life and movement. Therefore, the change which these 3 departments underwent is abundant and very open. So indeed, a great revolution of detriment of harm has overtaken the latter 3 parts of the deen. Due to the abundance and openness of this change, an observer will at all times witness the transition, the great change in the members of the Ummah. The observer, when witnessing this change constantly in a member of the Ummah, who calls out and says, "Ana min ummati Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam," would be shocked. He will be struck with surprise and wonder. He will ask, on what does the claimant base his slogan? In which respect and in what does he agree with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? On what does he stake his claim? Hazrat writes here, "O Muslims, you are again being warned of your condition of disgrace. You have to be alert, awaken from your slumber. If even now you fail to wake up, then may Allah help. If you have realized your fallen state, your fall from the pedestal of glory, then have you not realized that its reformation and its restoration to its former lofty state are incumbent upon you? If it is incumbent, in other words, if indeed you do acknowledge this incumbency, what are you waiting for? When will you commence with your spiritual reformation, which will bring about your restoration to your proper pedestal of glory? Are you waiting some obstacle, some disease or death, or some new wahi and revelation? Definitely there is no new wahi coming. The Quran Sharif asks, then, فَبِأَيَّ حَدِيثٍ بَعَدَهُ يُؤْمِنُونَ, which revelation after the Quran will they believe in? Obstacles and diseases will render you helpless, which will render you helpless and not impossible. But death is a certainty. If you are then awaiting the certainty of death, what do you think you will achieve? O Muslims, regarding this very revolution, which the Ummah has undergone and is still undergoing in this age, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam predicted, mankind is like 100 camels, among which you cannot even find one mount, that is one worthy of riding, and Allah Ta'ala knows best, and He is the one who grants tawfiq.